Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We're talking about
God's grace. If it had not been for the grace of God, where would we be? Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited and delighted to come before you as a vessel of God. I'm telling you, it's something about being used of the Father. I want you to be blessed with the music, and I'll be right back.
I'm so deserving. I'm talking about me.
Thank you for being sweet to me. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time with you, Lord God. Father, we just yield before your presence, and we ask you, God, to speak. We ask you, God, to take over. We ask you, God, that it will be only you, Lord. Father, I ask you, as we yield to your way and as we yield to your mission, Father, that you will speak to your people who are called by your name, Lord God, that you would lead, guide, and direct unto all truth. So in the name of Jesus, we come before you and we yield that the people of God will receive what you have to say to them on this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. For I'm always excited with another day in the land of the living, where we're able to come to God's people and to give them words of encouragement, to push them into purpose, and to release a prophetic word. As God has, as we pray, He speaks. Amen. But today, I'm going to talk about a mental and spiritual test. Hallelujah. The Lord woke me up and He gave me some names and He said, tell them, this is just a test. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something about a test. You know, sometimes we don't pass the test, but sometimes we pass the test. What is a test? A procedure for critical evaluation, you know, a meaning of determining the present or quality or the truth of something or what you have maintained in your studying. What is a test? It's a means for determining our presence of mind or maybe our quality or for a better answer that we are made of and the truth of our words. What is a test? A basic for evaluation or judgment. You know, God will test us many times and in many different ways for various reasons. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're in seminary or when you are in class and you are taking or preparing for a test, you take the test so that you can pass to the next level or the next requirement. The test is necessary. You know, when you begin to take a step and walk, it's a test. Can you make it? Can you walk? You know, your parents watch you take that first step. Maybe you fall the first time, but you get back up because guess what? You're testing your ability to walk. But God will test our faith. He'll test our faith through our families, through our jobs, through situations, through our closest friends. But each test will carry its own requirement, you know, that we might meet or either to excel or even to fail. You know, but the results of our test will be determined based on our level of our understanding or understanding that this, too, is a test. Does that make sense to you? You know, it makes sense to me when you look at situations and you know that this is a test. Should you say something? Should you do something? You know, we're being tested in so many ways. So many ways. Abraham was tested. You know, and when you look at the different situations in the Bible, so many people were tested by God. So this means God will decide if we're ready to move to the next level by knowing how we handle each test. Amen. The instructor will give a test, and then they'll make a decision. Was your score high enough to go to the next level? You know, God will allow us to either hang ourselves or excel in Him. Because guess what? This is only a test. You know, the option is strictly ours. The outcome is directly deriving from our actions. You know, before we go any further, let's just examine the test, I must say, for today. And I'll give you an example. You know, the Bible says that this woman who was seeking healing from Jesus was a Canaanite woman. And then, first of all, she had no rights according to the Jewish custom to be talking to Jesus. We're going somewhere. I know we're waiting on the scripture, but I'm in the Word. Amen. I'm going to take you somewhere. Because of the Jewish custom, she had no right to be talking to Jesus or to be even seeking Him in anything. Yet she knew her desires and her determination, you know, by addressing Him anyway. I mean, she wasn't looking at the law. She pressed in to Jesus, and Jesus was chosen, and He was sent to be there at that specific time. And was He tested or was she tested? Jesus tested her resolve and her character. amen, everything that we do and everything that we approach, we must call on the Father so that he can allow the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to lead, guide, and direct us. Sometimes things may seem to be good or may seem to be what we should be doing or what we'll do as a Christian, but a lot of times we have to know, is it God or is it of the enemy? So this woman approached Jesus because what? She was thirsty for water. And her actions and her sincerity, she was so determined, and how she reacted to Jesus and how Jesus reacted to her made a difference. You know, Jesus heard her when she first addressed him, yet he chose not to answer. Why? You know, when she called him, he didn't answer. But yet his disciples, his followers, they were there. They petitioned Jesus to be sent away from her. And now we're talking about how she pressed in the woman with the issue of blood. You know, I made a comparison with the Canaanite woman. You know, how kind of similar when Jesus told her everything she knew about herself, and he had no way of knowing it. Jesus will reveal some things to you so that you can confirm that he is of God. But anyways, this woman, she was determined. She pressed in until she got to the master. He said, somebody touch me, because virtue came out of him because of her determination and her faith that she would get to the Messiah, that she would get to Jesus. And the disciples wanted to send him away, so they had decided that she was annoying to Jesus. And Jesus, the disciples, put yourself in their shoes. It was just a test for them. It was a test for compassion. And guess what? They failed the test. It wasn't a trap. It was a test. So don't feel bad if you don't make the right decisions every time. But this lesson is how is to show you how to know if it's Jesus leading, guiding, and directing you. How would you know when it all seems the same? How would you know? And Jesus, you know, he was just, I always say that he was just so cool, calm, and collective in making his decisions. It's like he never moved hasty. He never, you know, just did something. You know, he was just always cool. He was always calm. Sometimes we don't like to wait, but sometimes we have to wait. You know, we don't like waiting for traffic. We don't like waiting in line. We don't like waiting on hold. You know, we don't like waiting for water to boil. You know, we don't even like waiting in the doctor's office. We don't like waiting too long for food at the restaurant. We don't even like waiting for our ride to pick us up. And we don't even like waiting for our ride to drop us off. You know, just like Abraham. Abraham had to wait, right? And because he waited for the season that he waited in, and then he ran into a situation in Genesis 17, Abraham and Sarah, when they took upon themselves to fulfill God's promise, amen, you know what I'm talking about, when Sarah gave Abraham to Hagar, her maid servant. And although Ishmael, his firstborn son, Ishmael is the result of not trusting and waiting on God's will and his promise, amen. So we don't like waiting. But sometimes God wants us to just wait so that we can be in the center of his will. When things happen, we get tested, and if we don't endure the test, sometimes we move forward and Ishmaels are born because we wouldn't wait. We have Ishmaels in our lives today, you know, that cause frustration because of our, I'm going to say our hurriedness. We have Ishmaels in our lives because a whole lot of stress. You know, because we just don't want to wait on God. We have Ishmaels in our lives because we're restless or we're sleepless, you know, because we took the matters in our own hand instead of waiting on God. But what God is saying to his people today, in this season, I dare you to wait on me. I dare you to pass the test. I dare you to know that it's my hand. I dare you to just trust me. I dare you to get out of yourself and then walk in me, says the Lord. When we spend time alone with God and we get out of his presence, sometimes we lean to our own understanding. We don't acknowledge him in all our ways so he can direct our path. But God is trying to take us somewhere in this season of the virus, COVID-19. Listen, is this just a test? You know, pulled us away from the church to be the church, pulled us away from our programs that came on every day so that we can not be traditionally waiting on our programs to come on, because guess what? They couldn't get together to make the program. They're set apart, and so we got to wait on God. We got to wait on God. They're playing reruns. Amen. I just want to encourage you today to know when it's a test, when God is trying to push you into purpose, but yet before the blessing comes, the enemy always sends what appears to be similar to the blessing, but it's a trap. So it's just a test. So we have to look for the test in life so that we'll know when God is trying to take us to that next place in him. You know, how the disciples, they failed the test for compassion. You know, compassion is something that we need to have, but we have to know when it's our assignment to apply that compassion on others. Amen. So, like I said earlier, don't feel bad if you didn't pass the test, because guess what? There's so many more that's going to come your way. There's so many more that's going to come my way. There's so many more that God would allow us to have to make a righteous decision, because guess what? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because we accepted him and we allow him to lead, guide, and direct us. You know, our flesh try to take over and try to tell us this or make us think that. But nevertheless, because we're in the word and because we are a living epistle of the word, God will lead, guide, and direct us. Amen. The Bible says even the very elect would be deceived if it was at all possible. Amen. I love that scripture. Even if it was possible, because guess what? We let the Lord lead us. Amen. Are you allowing God to lead you? Are you pressing forward where you are incapable of achieving something and allowing God to use you with his capability to make you capable? Amen. Amen. Let me get back to where we were. You know, when Jesus answered her at this moment, he said, I'm not here for you. That was the woman at the well, the Canaanite woman. You're not here. You're not a Jew. You're not Jewish. He said, I was sent for my people, and you are not one of them. Coming from Jesus. You hear me? But sometimes strange things happen. Then the woman came, and what did she do? She began to worship Jesus. And again, she said, Lord, help me. We're going somewhere. And I'm doing a comparison with the woman at the well and the woman with the issue of blood. And we're not talking about male or female, okay? So I don't want to get it twisted, but I want you to understand that when you seek his face, when you get in his presence, you are able to pass the test. Amen. You are able to pass the test. We have to get in God's presence in order to pass the test. So Jesus, this is the Canaanite woman, when he said to her, this is the children's bread, meaning the bread of life, the word. And he cast it to the dogs. He said that to her. Now, how do you think that made her feel? But she was keen. Ooh wee. I felt that was deep. But I don't know how many of us would keep talking to a man or a prophet after, you know, he had called us a dog or called you a dog or referred or made reference to you as a dog. But we have to make hard decisions to answer hard problems. So a lot of times we'll give up and quit, amen, because we're offended now, right? The Bible says offense is going to come. But she kept pressing in. She kept pressing in. You know, we have hard enough problems with people who say things, you know, to us and about us. But first, what did he do? What did he do when he said that? He looked at her, and it was custom for Jesus not to even be talking to her. And it was custom for her not to even be seeking him. But yet she showed that determination. We can't quit. She kept addressing him. She kept pressing in. She didn't get offended and say, this is my lot, I'm done. You know, she didn't get offended and say, he called me a dog and he's prejudiced. You know, we throw the race card all of the time. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but of course it does, but not in every situation. So Jesus had chosen to test her, as I said earlier, and when he said that to her, it was a test. It was a test. You know, I often wondered, why would he say that? You know, Jesus, why would he say that to her? And then I realized it was only a test. Amen. It was only a test. Amen, amen. I'm going to take just a little break, but I want you to meditate on what have you been tested with? What have caused you to just quit because of what was said or what was done? So you just, you say, my mission is completed here. What was it? Guess what? There's nobody like Jesus. And when you're tested, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because guess what? There's nobody greater than him. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back. There's nobody greater than him. I'm telling you, if you really, really know that he sits high and looks low, you've already won. You already won. Amen. Now, let's just be honest. How many of us, will continue to ask, whether it's a pastor or one of the ministers or anyone for that matter, to pray for you after, you know, he or she called us a dog. You know that's a test, right? So this young lady is persistent, though she realized that Jesus, or I'm going to say the prophet that she had heard about, this man of God, this rabbi, had something she needed. You know, she was determined that he or she, her only connection to God was through this man of God, her last hope, her one and only chance, that's what she felt, to get healed. Listen, God is trying to speak, and God is trying to direct us. And even the woman that wanted her daughter to be healed, you know, she had decided that she couldn't get anywhere, couldn't get to no one else, and she heard that Jesus was passing by, and she asked, you know, it shall be given to you, and she asked the Lord if he would heal her daughter. And what did he say? He spoke it. He spoke, be healed. So he sent the word and they were healed. It's full of miracles in the words that Jesus spoke. And as we dissect these words, we understand that just as Jesus was tested by these many situations, that his life was filled with tests. It was one test after another, one test after another. And then the woman with the issue of blood, what did he say? He said, great is thy faith. He told her faith has made her whole. Jesus tested the woman for her resolve, and he knew her questions. He knew her needs before it was brought to him. He knew it was not custom for him to be bothered with her, and when he called her a dog, you know, of course, that was a bitter pill to swallow. But it's really something to see when you're being tested, what decision should you make? You know, so in seminary, when you're told certain things, and then, so you kind of set the parameters and you go by these guidelines. However, when the Lord speaks, we move at his command. Amen. So we're taught in seminary, as a female, never, you know, a man need prayer and or a woman need prayer, it's okay with a sister. But if a brother need prayer, you need another person with you, and vice versa. We're taught that. And then we're also taught certain things where if you are ministering to a divorced couple or a couple that's pending divorce, not to minister with one alone or them alone, always have someone with you. And that's so that your good would not be evil spoken of. So it's certain things that you know you have to do, and it's certain things that the Lord will release you to do, you know, and he'll let you know when you're in a safe place. Amen. But the Lord speaks, and he lead us and he guide us so that we fall in no traps. As ministers of the gospel, we have to be cognizant of what we do, how we do it, and when we do it. Because once word is out on a minister, it becomes a period, and then a comma, and then a long conversation, and it don't always be the truth. Amen. But back to what the Lord is saying today, God wants our walk with him to be so in touch and in tune that when he speaks, we know exactly what to say. We know exactly what to do, because the enemy is trying to set traps so that we can miss the blessing that's coming our way. COVID-19 is God's way of preparing us so that we can receive what we have asked him for. The desires of our heart, they're on the way. they are on the way. And I don't particularly mean necessarily a person, but whatever those deep things that's in you that needs to come out and need to be birthed, it's right here. It's right here. It's prepared. It's ready for you. And so the enemy sends different situations so that when you approach these situations, you have to know, is this God or is this the enemy? So our reaction to our test allow our Savior to know, which he already knows. But for some reason, he tests us anyway when he told Abraham to get his son, get a ram, and sacrifice him, and he had to get his son. And Abraham fulfilled the test. He was willing to sacrifice his son. So if the Lord tell you, okay, I want you to get all that money you got out the bank, I want you to sell your house, and I want you to walk away from your family, and I want you to make the streets your home. We love God, right? Do we still love him now? If a test is given to you to that magnitude, you know, God tests us to see how planted we are. He has he equip us. He don't want to unequip us, but sometimes it takes a sacrifice so that you'll know exactly what you're going to do through the test. You know, we're uniformed. He don't want an ununiformed soldier in the battle. He want us to be equipped. And not only equipped, he wants us to be qualified. So guess what? We go through tests. So our actions will be determined. And then as they're determined, our blessings will come. But when blessings come, guess what happened? Tribulations come. Then more tests come. So the tests that God set before us and our actions as we go through will determine our walk with God. Our attitude will determine our altitude, how we go, how far we'll go with God. Amen. This is a test. This is a season filled with tests. So don't think it's strange when you hear the Lord say, do this, give that, go there. Think about this. The disciples were tested because they were to preach the gospel to everyone and to operate in a spirit of love toward everyone. But Jesus had to teach them how to operate in love. He had to teach them. So the woman with the issue, she proved to be greater because guess what? Her faith was greater than the disciples. So Jesus, he set the task for us and ahead of us to test our reactions. See, problems in your family, it's a test. God wants to see how we react. Do we react with flesh, or do we recognize the enemy and react by praying and taking it to the Lord in prayer? You know, God tests us to see how planted we are, not so that he would know, but so that we will know. He has to unequip us sometime because we didn't pass the test. Amen, amen. You know, we go through things in our walk. We go through situations in our life. But depression is not a part of our mission. You know, if a person say, oh, I'm depressed, the devil is a lie. Sometimes people hold on to depression because they're comfortable in it. It was a test. And then you're still going through that test. You should have passed that test and moved on. Greater Hakarabose, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So God would allow us to go through to ensure that we have learned our lesson. Everything God does is to test our determination, our faith in him. He allowed things to happen. Okay, Trump's in office. Okay, Trump's doing this. Okay. It's a test. He will not allow us to go through no more than we can bear. What about Peter? You know, Peter stepped out on the water. He was focused. He was focused on Jesus, and what happened? The minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, Jesus knew that he could reach out and carry him. But Peter's test was much like ours. You know, to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what the situation looked like. But like many of us, we take our eyes off of Jesus and we look at the circumstances. You know, Jesus, he was sent that we might have life. Are you living today? Or are you just settling? And not only do he want us to have life, but he wants us to have it more abundantly. So in order to receive this gift, we must first perfect the art of living in Christ. We do this by passing the test and the task that God set before us. Just go ahead and finish the book. You know, just go ahead and write the play. You know, just go ahead and do the commercial. Go ahead. Go ahead and do the video. You know, just remember the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So which means everything is already taken care of for us. The only chance for us to lose our salvation, you hear what I'm saying? Do you think you can lose your salvation? Is to fail the test. And markers is set for us. You know how now you go into the places and the little spots, they say, okay, you stand here 6 feet, baby. You stand here, and next person stand there, markers are set. You know, I don't know why people don't want to stay 6 feet. No mask on. They just want to come close. And you know what? I don't think it's strange because I feel it is my spiritual obligation to remind them 6 feet. I say it as kindly as possible. Amen. And I'm grateful that the people that I have to say that to, they get in their circle, get in their square. So pass the test. Let's look at how you went through a test. You know, you may have lost a loved one. You may had to minister to someone at the, I'm going to say, celebration. So you're looking at it was a loss, but God looking at it's an opportunity for a gain, spiritual gain. He want us to see things as he sees things. He want us to have the mind of Christ. Depression is not our portion. It's not our portion. So let me show you something. Every test we pass, guess what it does? It brings us closer to God. Hallelujah. You say you want to be close, keep passing those tests. You know, we don't like tests, but guess what? They're going to come. You know, when I know I got another test, I'm talking about in my classes, I take my test early. You know, they might be due next Monday. I'm going to get it over with because I understand that the value of this test, I have to pass it. And I don't want to just pass it. And elders share with me all the time, well, you got 97. You know, I'm more or less thinking about those 3 points I missed. I don't know. You know, I just want to satisfy Jesus. Amen. But the test of our faith, it brings us closer to God. And guess what? It also causes us to trust him more. So each time we overcome by faith, our faith increases. So the test of worship will bring us closer to God, and it carries with it a deeper anointing every time. The test of worship will bring us closer to God, and it carries a deeper anointing every time. So every time we come into God's presence with worship, we grow closer and stronger in him. See, the test of the adversary, guess what it does? It strengthens our testimony, and it gives us fortitude. So the more he take us through, the stronger we become in God. So the test of, humbleness or humility, it teaches us to remain a servant of God. You know, and I play the song Grace because guess what? I know sometimes we all miss the mark, but we don't stay down. We get up and we keep going and we keep marching. We're soldiers. Nope, quitting is not an option. We're in it to win it, right? So the tests keep us from exalting ourselves. The tests keep us from, we know that we are can do it and God use us. But the test of praise will keep us in remembrance that in everything we give God, we give him the glory, and we gain favor in his sight when we give him the glory. You know, step by step, inch by inch. They say put one foot in front of the other, and then soon you'll be on the floor. And then when you keep on putting one foot in front of the other, pretty soon you'll be out the door. Amen. Glory to God. I get excited because I'm delighted to allow God to use me the way that he does, because I can be somewhere and I just hear him say, you know, go around that corner and you're going to see so-and-so and so-and-so, and this is what you tell her or this is what you tell him. And it still amazes me because I know nothing about these people. So I know it's not me. Now, don't allow, and if I pray for you, definitely God will give me word for you. You know, and I'm grateful, I'm humble, because I understand it's nothing that I've done. It's just that he chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. Amen. And I want to talk about and problems on your job. I want you to remember it's only a test. Problems at home. You know, maybe you got problems in your marriage. Remember, it's only a test. Problems with your children. It's only a test. Problems with your ministry. Remember, it's only a test. You know, friends talk about you. Remember, it's only a test. Everything that seemed to be going wrong, remember, it's only a test. It's only a test. But every test that we take teaches us a different lesson. And I came by, my friend, today to tell you that it's just a test. You take Jesus. He's the answer. You got a problem on your job, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. You know, you got a problem at home, guess what? Jesus is the answer. Something's not going your way, guess what? Jesus is the answer. So to fail the test, you're going to have to take it over again. So I want you to realize Jesus. Just remember that the Bible is the study guide. It's the study guide that set us in order, set us apart so you can pass the test. You can make the grade. Jesus took the test of life, and he beat it. He came to show and illustrate it that death had no power over him. The grave had no victory over him. And we're made in his image and in his likeness. Our destiny is his destiny. So we don't have to worry about what come day to day. We bring problems on ourselves. Guess why? Because we're worried about things that we have no control over. Possible to make it through. And if we follow him, and if we answer to the call on our life, the tests get easier. You know, Ananias, lied to God and fell dead. It was a test. His wife lied to God, fell dead. It was a test. And I can go on and on. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they were tested. And Jesus tell them to cast their nets after they've been fishing all night. You know the story. And they caught nothing. The Bible say they caught a great multitude of fish. When? When they passed the test. They listened to Jesus. I remember a woman, the woman with the issue of blood. She suffered for 12 years with no hope. But when she heard her chance was close and the answer to her problem was in eye reach, she reached out because she had been tested for all those years and she hadn't passed the test. And she understands that Jehovah Jireh, her provider, Jehovah Nisi, you know, he's the Lord, our protection. We got everything that we need. You know, Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. You get hurt, he's going to heal you. Jehovah Raha, he's our shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. It go on and on. You know, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with us. He's with you. Jehovah Tiskanu, he is our righteousness, our forgiver. It's already done. It's already done. Step out on faith and understand that God is with you. You can pass every test. And how do you know it's of God? Because you've been in his presence and you hear his voice and you won't be deceived. Amen. We follow the word and we listen to his leading and he'll tell you. Amen. And I'm going to encourage you to pray for each other. You know, pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray for them because you will learn to forgive them. Amen. And then you understand that you can take everything to the king. And you can leave it there. We don't have to worry about anything. Anything. You know, our loved ones is gone. We pray that they lived a life that Jesus was satisfied with. Sometimes he called people home just so others can get lined up with him. Amen. So we want to continue to love. We want to continue to give love. We want to continue to forgive. Amen. And walk in the center of God's will. Whatever he called you to do, if you got fear, you got to face it. Because fear has to go. Because guess what? Fear is going to keep you from moving forward in God. There are so many people connected to your obedience. Amen. 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 So in Genesis 22 and 1, I'm going to close with this. Then the Lord God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him. There is a burnt offering on a mountain. I'll show you. Listen, it's only a test. Amen, amen. We want to walk in faith and not in fear. Fear, false evidence appearing real. I just want to strengthen you today. I just want to see you so strong and mighty that you got so much spiritual muscle that when enemy come, he literally see, I can't touch this. Amen. And not only are you spiritually and mentally and physically strong, that you're able to bear the infirmities of the weak. That is what's up. So that we can look out for one another, we can encourage, we can sow, we can grow, and we can become. Amen. And amen. I am excited and delighted again to be here. And I thank God that those that have called in are on the line. And you're so faithful to the ministry. And I thank God for you. And rest assured, your name is in the throne room daily. We intercede on your behalf. That God, peace be upon you, that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And every single tongue that rises up against you in judgment, guess what? It's already condemned. You condemn it, God's condemning it, and we condemn it. Amen. A threefold cord is not easily broken. God is faithful and he's good. Amen. I want to encourage you to continue to sow your seed into the ministry. We pray that there's a ricochet effect, that everything that you touch is blessed, because when you sow into Kingdom Builders development, you're actually sowing into someone else becoming what God has called them to become, because our daily life is filled with sowing so that others can become. Amen. Glory to God. You can go to www.giveify.com and you can download the app to your phone, and whenever God lead, guide, and direct you, you can sow. Amen. And I tell you, we are supernaturally blessed to be here with you, and we thank you for calling in. I'm going to open the lines for Elder. I'm not sure if he is able to have a few words. And if you are, Elder, would you unmute your phone?
Yes, yes. This, you so eloquently put the test to a fact. It's a test, and you talk about in Genesis and how Abraham was tested with his son, and then again how Abraham was also tested with his family. He had God asked him to get up and move his family. How many of us will get up and God tell us, hey, go over here, take your family? How many of us will just take our family and just leave, uproot? How many of us will leave our jobs? And although we distaste for about the job, how many of us will say, hey, but I'm getting a good salary. I don't like it, but I can't move. But God is telling you there's greater things ahead. I mean, Pastor and Providence Teresa she put it so bluntly and expressed it so intently to all of us that all that we're going through is just a test. It's just a test, no matter what we're going through. I mean, we look at all the tests that God has put to all the prophets and people in the Bible. It was just a test. Nothing more but just a test. Now, God takes us through this test to try our faith and discern its composition. Is it genuine or false? Is it weak or strong? Furthermore, since God has great plans for us, his children, I mean, the test that we go is preparation for greater works, just as test is, it's like the test we took in school. I mean, believers, we go through tests to build and strengthen our faith. Without believing in God, nothing is impossible. Therefore, we know that tests are the lot of God's children because they must be prepared for the things God desires us to accomplish. We're talking about the test. How do we pass the test? Well, as I consider it, you know, let's clarify, God never tempts believer to sin. God never tempts believers to sin. So you can try the Spirit by the Spirit. It's only a test. Amen. Amen. I give it back to you. That's the prophet's truth.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. And I just want to, for scripture's sake, I just want to give a few scriptures because I was prophetically speaking. And I do want to give those that need scriptures to substantiate what I was saying so that you'll know that we're being tested. You can go to James 1, 2 and 4, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials and various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that ye may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That you'll pass the test and you'll have what you need. James chapter 1 and 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 17 and 3. Amen. The crucifying is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the heart. Okay, you want another one? Then I'm going to let you go. The Bible says in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I told you that you already won. I told you that victory is already yours. Pass the test because no temptation will overtake you that is not common to man. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your abilities. But with the temptation, I'm talking to somebody, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. Amen. I'm telling you, I get excited because you know what? When these tests pop up, I be like, oh no, that's a test. You're gonna pass that one. God is good and He's faithful. Thank you, Elder, and thank you everyone that's on the line. We love you with the love of Christ, and happy Father's Day to those that are fathers. We just pray God bless His blessed best on you for Father's Day, that you're served. I just prophesy that you'll be served breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that you will have all your needs met, and that you will wake up with a smile, and when you lay down, you'll still be smiling. Amen. So with that being said, I want to say God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in. And victory, victory. I'm not talking about part-time victory. I'm talking about full-time victory. You know, they say, howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. I think that's how it goes. But we are victorious. I want you to remember that. You're victorious. God bless you, and have a supernatural rest of the day. This is Prophetess Teresa and Elder Docs, and we love you with the love of Christ. God bless you.